This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. There's a comic book quality to the work of Louis Franco. Franco, as he likes to be called, created a graphic novel adaptation of the play Jade City Chronicles that premiered in Durham this past May. But his comic work is just the tip of his talent when it comes to art. You can see another side at an exhibit of his work at the Hayti Heritage Center in Durham. It's the side represented by works like The Box Reality. The piece looks like a brightly rendered Crayola crayon box, but on closer inspection, you'll see five upraised fists, the traditional black power sign, sticking out instead of crayons. They're a rainbow of skin colors. The words on the front of the box read, "Five colors, same but different." Franco considers himself a visual activist, someone who tries to inspire change through his art, and he is in the studio now. Franco, welcome. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Let's talk about a work like Box Reality. Where does the impetus, where does the idea of that come from?
Well, when I first came up with the concept, the first thing I thought of is this fist pick that I've used as a trademark. I wanted to put this in my artwork, and I wanted to also give it life by adding color to it so it takes on a human quality. So once I did that, it just made sense to me to do a piece that would really dictate that in a box of crayons.
And the fist pick is a hair pick with the fist where the handle would be. So
it's right
the black
frame.
Power fist. Hair pick. Hair pick, iconic in the late 60s and 70s, you know, sticking out of an Afro hairstyle.
Right on.
And that very much represents, your work is rooted in that era, is it not?
Yes, it is. I'm definitely into the whole civil rights movement, equal rights, justice for everybody. So it just, for me, it was something that I wanted to make an iconic or a point of interest on all my pieces. It kind of sets the mood and the tone for what I'm trying to get across as far as my message.
Was that work itself inspiring for you? When you go back and you see either the street theater or some of the art that was produced out of that period, does it inspire? Is it an intellectual idea? There was this movement in the 60s. It called for equal rights, et cetera.
Right.
Or when you look at it, does it inspire something just on its own graphic merit?
I definitely think it does. I get a lot of response from that piece, as well as the Let Go Racism. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but it's also the same type of concept.
I am, but describe that one for us.
Sure. It's same thing with the fist picks, but now they look like Legos with the little end sticking out, like they could attach to something. And the same concept, which where I use this iconic image like Legos or crayons to kind of send a message about racism or the state of things as far as the human condition.
Thanks for the plug. But again, that particular era, that inspires you, the look of that era, the look of the art that came out of that era. Because you make it your own. It's definitely a distinguished piece. It doesn't look like the 60s, but it does bring us back for those of us who...
Right, definitely. I definitely make it my own. What I do is I refer to it as kind of like, or I reference it to like hip-hop, where people use music of the past and they bring it into modern time by remixing it. So I take these old images and I kind of remix it so it becomes my own.
Andy Warhol is remixed in your work as well. There's an image of a Goya kidney bean can. Tell us about that and what it means.
I thought it was interesting. I take a lot, or I'm inspired a lot by what I see from pop artists. They are very inspirational to me because I'm really fond of bright colors and very intense. I think it's a great way of grabbing people's attention. But when I looked at the soup can, I thought to myself, well, it's an interesting image, but it speaks more of American culture back then, during that time. So I was like, what if I did something that was more cultural? So I started to experiment and do things with food products such as the Goya pigeon peas and other Latino as well as Asian food products as well.
You bring this thing together. Yeah, the idea of fusion, because, of course, what Warhol was getting at, it was this sort of repetition of images. But that's not what's at the heart of that work, it seems to me. It is about diversity that does seem to blend in. It does seem to be sort of everyday. And then you recognize how different it is in terms of the cultural content of that can.
Right on.
Powerful stuff. You also have representations of familiar musicians, John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix. What do those figures say to you?
Well, they definitely made powerful statements with their music. And I think especially seeing someone like John Lennon, I mean, he was all about peace and unity. And that's something I can stand behind. So it was very comfortable doing a piece on him. And Jimi Hendrix, I've always been fond of how he was able to be such a driving force in what I consider to be more of a Caucasian music at that point in time.
How do these ideas that were powerful at the time, an impetus behind a movement for change, they go by the wayside over time? They become, in a sense, trivial. They become worn, and we don't want to go back and talk about peace anymore, and we don't want to talk about equality. And yet they were never resolved. That's one of the more interesting things. It's sort of like, yeah, that's back then. Well, okay, we haven't fixed it yet.
Right.
So, I mean, is that part of what sort of inspires you?
That definitely inspires me. It hasn't been fixed. I feel a need to continue to do it. And I'm hoping and that my artwork can compel people to motivate or inspire others to be forward thinkers and think outside the box and make a difference in the world.
When you construct a piece of art, as you begin to compose your work, what is uppermost in your mind? Is it the imagery? Is it the thing you don't know yet? Or you have very clear ideas and an outcome. You want things to happen. What are the compelling forces and how do they compete in your mind?
It's pretty complex. I mean, it's just, I really never know day to day what's going to strike me or hit me. But when it does, I feel compelled to put it on paper and put it out there to the world.
Now, you have a day job. That's a good thing. You're working at
yes,
SES, right?
Yes.
Is that a way, I mean, does it contribute to artistic passion? Does it get in the way? How does it work together?
I try to allow it to get in the way. If anything, it actually helps me financially to continue doing what I do. I think any artist can probably tell you the story of being a starving artist. And it's tough. I have a day job and I'm very thankful for that. And it definitely helps me out to do the things that I'm passionate about and I love.
Starving can sometimes be maybe the inspiration for the pigeon peas. Who knows? That can of Goya peas.
It can be. And I tell you what, even with a day job, I still feel like I'm starving. So,
well, maybe not after this work gets out. Franco, so good to talk with you. Thanks
it's
for being
talk
here.
Good to talk to you, too.
You can see an exhibit of Franco's work at the Haytai Heritage Center in Durham until October 30th. For more information about Franco's work, go to francoproject.com. Just ahead, musical activist Toshi Reagan rocks Durham next weekend, in fact, this weekend, and you'll hear her on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.